As I said, today we are reflecting on the words of Psalm 148. It's a psalm of praise, one that you may not know this about the Psalms, but actually as you get to the final Psalms in the book of Psalms, they all are these really big, flourishing psalms of praise that encourage the people of God to celebrate God and to rejoice in his actions. And so we're looking at that psalm today, and you may be thinking to yourself when I said psalms, why are we reading a psalm during Easter? And maybe you weren't thinking that because you don't know that Easter is actually more than one day. In the church, we celebrate Easter for weeks, and so you should be saying happy Easter to the annoyance of all of your loved ones for a few more weeks. So please celebrate that. Do that. It's just like Christmas, where I annoy my sister by saying Merry Christmas for weeks after Christmas. You know, maybe you shouldn't do the things I say when it comes to this. Never mind. Let's just talk about Psalm 148. So why are we talking about Psalm 148 in Easter? Why aren't we looking at the stories of Jesus and Thomas, or the resurrection stories that we typically look at? Well, I want to look at Psalm 148 because I think it helps us ground what God is all about and how God is at work in his creation. And so the first thing that I wanted to talk about today is what Easter means for creation, and for creation specifically. Sometimes when we talk about Easter, we talk about it in a very narrow and limited way. We might talk about Easter as kind of the proof that Jesus' sacrifice worked. A lot of people will pigeonhole Easter into that kind of narrow thing. Oh, because Jesus was raised from the dead, that's how we know that his sacrifice was good and our sins are forgiven. And that's partly true. That is evidence that Jesus' sacrifice is covering our sins and that God has raised him does that. But that's far too narrow of a way of talking about Easter. For the greater significance of Easter is not just that our sins are forgiven, but it's that we share in the newness of life in Christ, and ultimately that we look forward to a day where we will be raised from the dead as well. I actually had a congregant when my fieldwork church, all the way back my first year of seminary, and I still remember this because it's this weird line that's just stuck with me. He came up to me after the Easter Sunday at this church. He said, "Do you know what the better response is? For he is risen." And I, like, he just did it very aggressively, and I didn't know how to reply. And I was like, I don't. And he goes, "I too shall rise." And he just said it with this incredible, like, this is the great promise. It's not just that we celebrate Christ's resurrection, but that we're celebrating our future resurrection as well. And that Easter isn't just proof that God's sacrifice worked, but it points to the resurrection that we will experience, right? That when we come to a funeral, when we reflect on the death of a loved one, we point not just that their sins are forgiven, but that the tomb was empty and our loved one will one day be raised. But Psalm 148 not only helps us see that the resurrection of Christ is important for you and me, but that it's important for all of creation. That God was never just worried about you and me, but that God created everything and he cares about everything. And so Easter grounds us properly in the care for all of creation, in the care of fellow creatures. Here's a fun thing. You're a creature. Have you ever thought of yourselves as a creature? It's kind of a weird thing to say it. Matt Norcia, you're a creature, you. Right? Like, we don't typically talk about it that way. And yet, the way that creation is shown to us is that God, who's on top, creates. There's two categories when you're looking at it this way. There's God, and there's everything else. And everything else is a created thing, and therefore a creature. Angels are creatures. Satan is a creature. We're all creatures. And so we all, I guess Satan, ignore the Satan part when I say we all. And so we all, as fellow creatures, join in praising God. Excuse me, I had to cough there for a second. And so we all, as creatures, join together in praising our God. And that's what Psalm 148 is doing. And it's really weird when you read through it if you don't think about creation as having a responsibility and a response to God. Praise the Lord. Praise Yahweh. Praise him from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels and all his hosts. And then it starts talking about all these other things that we don't think of as praising God. Praise him, sun and moon and shining stars. Well, what's that about? Praise him, waters above the heavens. Praise him, the sky is basically what he's saying. And jump down to verse 7. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures, right? Like God's asking the Leviathan to praise him. And all the deeps, fire and hail and mist and stormy wind fulfilling his word. And I know most of you don't actually know what a lot of those things are, that hail and snow. That's something that other places experience, and it's miserable. And so it's weird to see this call out for these miserable things that they're praising God when they happen in their time and according to God's desires. Mountains and hills, fruit trees and cedars, beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying things. And literally those two verses, basically beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds, that's just directly paralleling the creation account out of Genesis 1. It's nailing the broad categories that is used there to talk about creation. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and rulers. And so everything is lumped together, and you and I with it. We are all lumped together, and that the ultimate call that this psalm elevates us to is to praise God. And that we praise him because of his faithfulness and his fidelity toward his creation, that he has shown his compassion and his love and his grace for us, and he has poured it out time and time again. One of the ways that you can read through scriptures, the Old Testament and New Testament, is thinking about all of the ways that humans have gotten in the way and screwed up and subverted what God was up to, and that every single one of those is met with God constantly turning the people back to his love and his grace and restoring them again and again and again. And that each time when that restoration happens, it calls the people of God to praise and to celebrate and to laud the goodness of God. And what's more important about that is that praising God actually helps to ground us in the love of God. That praising God straightens us out in this amazing way. Because when we praise God, we're grounding ourselves in his promise and his faithful deeds throughout history. When we praise God, we celebrate that we have a God of mercy and compassion and love and grace. And that if we think of that as the source of all things, it changes the way that we live. And it pushes us to live that way toward others. That's why it's so important to praise God. Because when we praise God, we're focused on that instead of the anxiety and the busyness of the world, instead of being ground in the desire for more or being worried constantly, it helps us to focus on him and his grace instead of just acquiring more. And so it helps us ultimately to not be like Pharaoh, right? It helps us to live as God's compassionate people toward one another. And that's an amazing and a great thing to do. And so the other part about this, though, is that when we live as he desires, we're still praising God, which is kind of a cool thing. When we explicitly praise God, when we go out of our way to do prayers and worship services, which are great things to do, to read scripture and to lift up those explicit praises of God, it actually helps to conform our whole lives to be a praise to God. How does the Leviathan praise God? Does it praise God by, you know, like surfacing up on the sea and calling out a praise to Yahweh? No, it just praises God by being a Leviathan. How does the crawling, creeping thing praise God? Does it suddenly get down on its knees and start to pray? No, it just keeps creeping and crawling. Bees praise God by pollinating and making honey. And birds praise God by flying around. And hills praise God by being there and shifting with tectonic forces. They just praise God by doing the thing that God made them to do. And that you and I, we are special in creation. We have this amazing capacity to care for or harm creation. And so we are special in that respect, and that we also can lift up those explicit praises. And yet, the other way that we praise God is just by being and living the way that God wants us to, and the way that he desires us to, which is ultimately to love our neighbors as ourselves. And so we get to praise God in extraordinary ways. And through those stories that are just so encouraging to hear, that so many authors and writers have pointed at in Christian literature, maybe it's the evangelist who converts someone on an airplane that he's sitting next to, or you have someone making a great testimony of faith and it helps someone else out, or people who donate lavish sums or show up just in the nick of time to help someone else out. We get to praise God in those ways, absolutely. But most of the time we don't praise God in such extraordinary moments. Most of the time we praise God through the mundanity of our lives, by calling one another and seeing how we're doing, making sure that we're supporting each other as a congregation, by calling other friends and family and making sure they're doing okay, by showing up when people are in need and helping them out, by, you know, shopping, by doing all of the things that we do, but doing so with care and compassion, grounded in the love of God. That's how we praise God. That every moment of our lives is a chance to be at this work, pointing ourselves to God and loving neighbor, and in loving neighbor, still praising God. And so that's why this is such a wonderful Easter text to read today, because it helps us ground us in the reality of Easter, that Easter isn't about you and not about me. It's about everything. And that Christ the Lord was risen for all of creation, and that all of creation is under that promise of restoration and hope. And so we go about our lives as Easter people, bringing that love and that grace to our neighbors, ultimately in a praise of God and for the work of his creation that he's still doing through us. Amen.